scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning with verse 40 and reading through verse 45. I'm reading from the Message translation. Hear now the word of our Lord. A leper came to Jesus, begging on his knees, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, "I want to be clean." Then and there, the leprosy was gone, his skin smooth and healthy, and Jesus dismissed him with strict orders, "Say nothing to anyone. Take the offering for cleansing that Moses prescribed, and present yourself to the priest. This will validate your healing to the people." But as soon as the man was out of earshot, he told everyone he met what had happened, spreading the news all over town. So Jesus kept to out-of-the-way places, no longer able to move freely in and out of the city, but people found him and came from all over. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, open us up to hear you speak. May we hear your word. May it encourage us and strengthen us to be your people in the world around us. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. During the greeting time, I asked you, have you ever been excluded? Has everyone felt excluded at one time or another? Lots of hands, right? And some of us probably had to reach back a little ways, you know? Maybe it goes back to high school when they told you they were going to pick you up for the game and didn't. Or all of your friends got in a class together and you didn't get in it. And they grew closer and you were on the outs. Or maybe it happened more recently, like everybody at work was invited to lunch and somehow they missed you. There's times when we all feel like we've been excluded, whether intentionally or accidentally, we have just been left out. And it doesn't feel good. I heard one recently this past school year. A mom was sharing with me a story with her daughter, a fourth grader. The daughter came home one day from school and said, "Mom, me and my best friend, we don't hang out together anymore." They had sleepovers together, always been to each other's birthday parties, and suddenly in fourth grade, they weren't spending time together anymore. And mom asked the fourth grade girl, "What happened?" And she said, "My friend is now one of the cool girls, and I don't play with them." "Okay. What makes the cool girls cool?" mom asked, thinking it's got to be makeup or boys or gossip or clothes or something along those lines. And you know what the little girl said so matter-of-factly that when it was brought back to me, it made me laugh? She said, the cool girls decided they were cool, told us they were cool, and now get to decide who's cool with them. She wasn't hurt. She wasn't wounded. It's just the way it was. And she didn't want to be cool. So she wasn't with her friend anymore. They didn't hang out the way they used to. She didn't feel excluded, but she was. She wasn't invited to be part of the group. The cool girls got to decide who sat with them at lunch, who sat with them on the playground. I mean, they didn't really play. They were cool. Who sat with them on the playground? Who was in and who was out was determined arbitrarily by a group of fourth grade girls. I laughed at the logic. We've decided we're cool and we're going to tell you if you're cool too. It's ridiculous. Except when adults do it. And we do. We label one another. Are you one of us or one of them? And I can get you started right away. Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Are you one of us or are you one of them? Are you a liberal or are you a conservative? Do you go to a mainline church or do you go to a Bible church? Or do you pray the right prayers? Do you say the right things? Do you read the right Bible? Are you one of us or one of them? And pretty soon, you don't have to change much to realize, are we the cool girls in fourth grade? Or are we not? Are we part of the exclusive club? Or are we not? It seems to me most of us would be more comfortable living in a spaghetti western where the bad guys wear the black hats and the good guys wear the white hats and nobody wears gray. And if you're a little more modern, where Darth Vader wears the black and Luke wears the white and nobody wears gray. We're not comfortable with the shades of gray. Are you in my group or are you in the other group? Where do you stand? Jesus muddies the water quite a bit when it comes to the church. In a passage of scripture we don't read a whole lot, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. You see this story of John. It's going to come up on the screen, but if you want to grab one, it would be good so you can see the whole thing, because I couldn't put the whole thing on the screen at once. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. John, one of Jesus' disciples, comes running to Jesus and says, "Teacher, we saw someone using your name to expel demons and we stopped him because he wasn't part of our group." And I think John is looking for a pat on the back. He's done a great thing. He's weeded out the impure from the pure. He's made sure that Jesus' message is only protected by those who Jesus approves of. And John's waiting for a promotion to chief disciple. And Jesus responds and says, "Are we the cool girls or what?" That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says this. He says, "Don't stop him. If he's not an enemy, he's an ally." Ooh, that changes the whole in-crowd structure quite a bit, doesn't it? It's not about being one of us. It's about the work that's getting done. Yet we find John's running around today, trying to determine who is in and who is out, who's part of our group and who's not. It seems to me somewhere along the way, some of us in the church got the idea that our job is to keep the church pure and clean. And that's not our job at all. Our job is to reach out to the people around us. And so many of us in this room feel like pretenders, imposters. Somehow we fooled the cool girls into letting us in for a little while. But if they knew, if God knew what I really struggle with, what I really go through, the mistakes that I make on a daily basis, I'm not sure I'd still be included. And we wind up living these nervous spiritual lives, wondering all the time whether we belong or not. And the other result is lots of people who are outside the walls of the church, they don't want to come in. Like that fourth grade girl said, "I don't want to be a cool girl. They don't want to be part of us. Because we don't see us, they don't see us as welcoming." In Jesus' day, there was an easy division among the faithful between clean and unclean. Everything in the Judaism of his day was neatly divided into one of those two categories. Things were either clean, holy, and acceptable, or they were unclean, defiled, and unacceptable. Food was clean. And if food was clean, you could eat it and you could sacrifice it. But some foods were unclean, and those weren't to be eaten and weren't to be sacrificed at the temple. Activities. There were things that you could do that were clean, and there were things that you could do that were unclean. Jobs. Tax collector, unclean. Priest, clean. And people. Just things that happen to people could make them unclean. Getting a disease, being born with a handicap, would make one unclean. Heck, being poor made you unclean. And there were rituals that you needed to go through in order to be cleansed and be holy and acceptable to be able to worship. And there was this running understanding that when something clean came in touch with something unclean, the clean thing became unclean. Is that clear? That sounds confusing every time I say it. When something clean came in contact with something unclean, it was the uncleanness that was contagious and made the clean thing unclean. Jesus doesn't abide by that. Mark, in writing his gospel, seems incredibly impressed with what Jesus does with unclean people. It seems to be a focal point of his writing. So much so that this passage that we read earlier in the very first story of a healing that Mark shares with us in his gospel, a leper approaches Jesus. That sounds simple enough, but it's not. Big deal. Stop. Lepers don't do that. They're not supposed to do that. Lepers were sent outside of town to live in a leper colony all by themselves, not to be with their family, not to be with their friends, not to come to worship anymore. They were out there. And when they did come around people who were clean, they had to announce that they were unclean so you didn't accidentally bump into a leper and become unclean yourself. So lepers were left out there. For a leper to approach Jesus, huge breach of the social structure of the day. And yet, the leper comes, and he asks Jesus to heal him. No, he doesn't. Did you hear what he asks Jesus to do? If you want to, you can cleanse me. He doesn't ask to be healed. Now we hear about leprosy, and we hear about being cleaned, and we think he just wants his skin cleaned up. That's why we would talk about it today. I don't think that's what he's asking at all. He's asking for reinstatement. Can I be clean? You can make me clean. You can make me acceptable again in my family, in my society. You can make it so that I am acceptable to God again. If you want to, you can cleanse me. And I love the way the message has Jesus respond. I want to. And he doesn't say be healed. He says be clean. Big deal. This is about this cleanliness and uncleanliness. The holiness of Jesus coming in touch with the uncleanliness of a leper, but also of you and me. And you know what happens? Jesus flips the whole system upside down. The unclean thing doesn't make the clean thing unclean. The clean Jesus touches the unclean leper, and what happens? The cleanliness is contagious, not the uncleanness. That's one of the details that Mark is careful to include, that Jesus touches the leper. Big deal that Jesus touches one who is unclean. And it's the cleanliness that spreads. Time and time again, we find in the Gospels Jesus touching unclean people with the same result. Unclean people are made clean when they come into contact with Jesus. There's this insult that the religious people used to hurl at Jesus at the time. They called him a friend of sinners. I don't think Jesus took it as an insult. I think he thought it was a compliment. The question I have for us today, if we're the body of Christ in the 21st century, do people compliment us the same way they complimented Jesus? Do people say of the church, oh, they're friends of sinners? They say that about us, Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church? We are friends of sinners? Jesus was criticized for hanging around the wrong people all the time. Are we? Or do we come up on a hill and insulate ourselves? How does the world view us? Oh, if you're a longtime church person, you go, of course we're welcoming and we're friendly. Of course people are going to come and be a part of us. But when we pray, is that what they see? Our backs? A huddle? Where we're just kind of together, circled up to pray, and that's the symbol of the church that people see. Closed off. That we are the cool girls group, arbitrarily deciding who we let in and who we won't. They don't see us as the loving friend of sinners that Jesus was, nor do they think we're willing to reach out and touch the lepers of our day. We need to change that, and we don't need to compromise anything whatsoever in order to do that. I'm just suggesting that when we circle up to pray, we face out rather than in. That we genuinely share love with those who feel like they're on the outside. That we genuinely care for the poor who cannot serve but need to be served. That we genuinely care for the sick who do not have a ride to the doctor or can't afford their medicine. That we care for the lonely by letting them know that they're surrounded by love and support. That we care for the children, making them know that they're welcome and safe in this place. That we care for one another in our struggles, in our doubts, in our fears. No matter where we find ourselves, that we take our cleanliness to the world to bring healing. If you're one who has not been a part of the church for long or are visiting today, and you've ever felt excluded by the church on behalf of the church, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Nobody should have ever done that to anyone. Jesus never said to anybody, well, go get your act together and then come back and I'll be glad to welcome you in. Never. He grabbed them and held them and tried to grow them into the people that God had created them to be. Too often in the church, we've been the cool girls deciding who belongs and who doesn't. And that's not our role. Our role is to bring in all of those who need the love and the presence of Christ in our lives. We Christians, we struggle too. We have the same problems that everybody else has. We like to claim we got it all together, but get in our closets and we don't. We make mistakes. We struggle. We bicker. We fight. We have family problems. We have financial problems. We battle addictions and habits. We don't read our Bibles as much as we wish we did. We don't pray as much as we think we should. And we're embarrassed by how flawed we are. Don't stay away from a relationship with God because someone has given you the impression that you don't belong. Jesus didn't do that. You belong in his family. He's called you his friends. We are not clean or holy on our own. We're cleaned by our contact with Jesus. And he calls us to take that cleanliness out to the world around us and to share it. A man came up to Jesus and said, if you want to, you can cleanse me. And Jesus said, I want to. The question for us today is, how will we answer? Do we want to? Let's pray together. Sometimes, God, we find ourselves where it's so comforting to just know that we're part of the church. And we forget about our role to share your love with the people around us. And so, God, we pray that you would empower us and strengthen us and send us out to be your people in the world around us. Not necessarily through a church program, but just in our everyday living. Use us, oh God, to be your people everywhere that we go. Welcoming, being the friend of sinners that you are. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. sing. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior. Weight of the cross, the shame, beat it all and rose from the grave. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior. You may be seated. Did more prayer cards come forward? Yes, they did. Whoops. God, nuts. Let's unite our hearts together in an attitude of prayer. God, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts for the many gifts that you have given to us. We thank you so much for the ways in which you move among us and for the tremendous love that you have for us. Sometimes I think the greatest thing that we can say are the words of that song, just how you love us in tremendous ways that we can't always even comprehend or understand and know we certainly don't deserve. You love us through our mistakes and you accept us. And so, God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be your people in this place. And we thank you for this gift of prayer, where at any time, in any place, in any situation, we can just close our eyes and speak a word or think a thought and know that we're heard. and know that you don't only hear, but that you act in our lives. Sometimes we don't always get it the way we want, but we trust that you know better. And so, God, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence in all of our lives, in the good and the bad and everywhere in between. We pray your gift of healing upon us, upon those who are in need of your strength. Oh, God, let them know your strength and your peace and your comfort in times of weakness. For those filled with anxiety, oh God, may your peace just dwell among them. And for all of us, oh God, as we receive the sacrament and prepare to leave this place and go back out into the world, God, how good it would be to just hang out here for a really long time, knowing that we're with you and knowing that we're with people who understand us. And yet, God, you don't call us to stay. You call us to go. To go and share your good news, your love, your joy, your peace. Use us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.